It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you to each and every one of you for listening. I so appreciate you. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You have a purpose. Step into it. We were made for this time. So thank you so much. I really do appreciate you. And thank you to this team that I get to work with. That is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Producer Steve, it is one of your favorite days today.
Yes, it is. And I'm going to enjoy it.
You know what? I love Fridays as well. There's just kind of a festive feel about Fridays. So happy Friday to each and every one of you. And check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests on our most recent podcasts. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. On the website now is our voter's guide, which I highly recommend. We're seeing a lot of different voter's guides coming out right now. And interestingly, some of them don't take a position on each of the issues. And one should ask why. And many times politics is playing into that. So we have taken a position on each of these issues. There's three statewide questions, as well as I Live in Lone Tree, have taken a stand against this 55% tax increase in our retail tax. And people say, how did you get to 55%? The city tax right now is 1.8%. They want to raise it to 2.8%. That's a 55% increase. In this day and age when people are hurting, if you can believe it, Steve.
Well, Kim, yeah, that's absolutely true. And dare we talk about the Denver Post stance on 119?
Oh, the Denver Post did come out and take a stand regarding this new marijuana tax, air quotes, for the children. They actually came out as against for 119. I've not seen the whole piece. Have you taken a look at it? Do you know why?
Well, let's see. I should have. Okay, now you caught me. I was just so blown away by that they came out against it. I guess I didn't really. I read the whole thing, but nothing really comes to mind. I guess it was accountability, I think, was a big deal to them.
Oh, you mean the board that's going to be put in position by this governor? They choose their own replacements, so they're unaccountable to future governors. They're unaccountable to the Board of Education. They're unaccountable to the legislature and unaccountable to the voters. That reason, maybe that's a good reason. Because you know what? We believe in representative government in America. And Colorado, one of the reasons that we have gotten to the place that we've gotten is because we have gotten away from representative government, producer Steve. But be sure and check out that website. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And my gosh, I'm blown away by all of you who support us. I so appreciate that as well.
Okay, I did find it real quick. It says it does have one major flaw. It doesn't actually identify the high-quality tutoring and programming for kids that would receive approximately $137 million, blah, blah, blah. So I guess they're concerned that there's just not enough clarity yet in it.
Well, the reason there's not clarity is because people would probably really vote against it when they figured out it was cronyists that were going to, because this board selects the vendors. And so the cronyists would then select their cronies to be the providers on this, all with tax dollars and quote unquote, all for the children. So before we've got a jam packed show planned for you today. In the third and fourth segment, we'll be talking with Father Andre Mahana. He grew up in Lebanon. He is a fierce protector of religious liberty, which that is the very first thing that is identified in the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution is religious liberty. So we'll talk about that in segments three and four. Second segment, we'll talk with Teresa Shelton. She's running for Jefferson County School Board. And we're realizing these school board races are probably among the most important, as well as city council races, in the country and in our state. So we'll talk with her about that. Before we get over to my friend Helen Raleigh, our quote for today is from James Madison. And you know him, he's one of our founding fathers. And he said this, conscience is the most sacred of all property. And we are seeing such an assault on property rights, all of our property rights, with what's happening here in Colorado with Polis and this legislature, with what's happening in Washington with Biden and Harris and the Obama, Rice, Jarrett administration. So we realize how important these things are. But on the line with me is Helen Raleigh. You know her. She's a regular guest on the show. She's writes for The Federalist. She's on national television on a regular basis. She's the author of Confucius Never Said, as well as Backlash, How China's Aggression Has Backfired. But we're moving over to something, and she just posted this, and that is a piece that will really touch your heart. Helen Raleigh, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. Thank you for having me.
Helen, October is the pregnancy, let's see, I've written this down. It is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. And this is a subject that many times people don't talk about, maybe uncomfortable about, but it's something that is near and dear to your heart, Helen.
Yes, because I'm a mother who lost the two children. More than 3 years ago, I lost my son. He was stillborn. And this year, I had a miscarriage. Only after our own losses, we realized how common this problem or this tragedy has been for many other American families. Here's some horrific statistics. So about a quarter of the pregnancy ends in miscarriage, and about 24,000 babies born in the United States are stillborn each year. So this is something that many American families experience. Unfortunately, we're in a culture with, you know, it's a taboo project because we're so divided culturally that we don't want to talk about the pregnancy loss and the infant loss. So today, especially, is the International Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Day. So I hope that by sharing our tragic stories can help raise awareness, sending love and the prayers to all the families who experience this.
Helen, the piece that you've just written, I think is important because I think many times when we think about a pregnancy loss or an infant loss, we think about the mother for sure. And then the dad, but we forget how this affects everyone in the family. And in the piece that you've written, your mother had made clothes for Lucas, and just how this affects everyone in the family. I think it's important that people understand that.
Right. And you're absolutely right. You know, when we talk about the child loss, you know, yes, we all naturally we want to, you know, care for the mother because the mother carried the child, and the father is directly impacted. But you're absolutely right. We don't think when we talk about bereavement care to help the families, you know, to agree with their grief, to help them dealing with the grief. We often do not think about the siblings, the grandparents, but everybody is so invested in this baby, and so it is so important, and we recognize that when we think about how we can help these families, we need to think beyond the parents. Obviously, the parents are the center of the care, but I also should think about the siblings. You know, I met many families in my support group who they have young siblings who experienced, they were just excited to welcome their brothers or sisters. You know, they saw their mother's bellies, you know, become big, and they saw the baby kick, they talked to the baby. And same for the grandparents, you know, the third generations, their new hope, another future. And everybody's so invested in the pregnancy and the sudden loss of the child. It's really heartbreaking for everybody involved.
Well, it is. And so first of all, we must talk about it. And you started the piece with, and it's just a conversational piece. Oh, do you have children? How many children do you have? And when you have the loss of these children, it's difficult. And this has been a journey for you on how you answer that question.
Yes. And I wouldn't be here if not for my faith. I think the faith, the Christian, being a Christian, you know, have the faith that my children are in the arms of Jesus. Eventually, you know, I will see them again. That's the faith that had to pull us through this journey. And I really like this Mother Teresa's quote. You know, she basically said, we're all going to experience the pain and the suffering, but then you have to remember the pain, the sorrow, the suffering about the kiss of Jesus. And a sign you have come so close to him that he can kiss you. And that's something that just reminds me. And so I, on this special day, I just want to send all my loves and the prayers to all the family who experienced this. I've been getting a lot of emails from people since I posted this, that they share with me their loss of stories. I just want to let them know that they are not alone. We are not alone, and we are all kissed by Jesus.
Helen, in this time right now that we're going through in America, I was at a meeting last night, and there was a pastor who talked about trials, and that that we in America, we've had it pretty easy and have not really gone through trials. This trial of Lucas now with Christ and with baby Allie with Christ, it's been a journey. And as your friends have been with you on this, I think it's not only been a journey for the family, but it's also been a journey for your friends, Helen.
Thank you. And, you know, I can't say enough of, share enough my appreciation for friends like you, Kim, Alida, and Annie, Phyllis, and everybody, and even our neighbors who helped support Mike and I and our family through this. You are right. It is a journey. It's a journey that's still painful. The pain never really goes away. Like I said, with faith, we put our trust in God. Faith helped pull us through this journey. And we know that we never walk on this journey alone. And that is a great deal of comfort. So thank you.
And Helen, a final thought here. When people, I understand this, that when people ask the question, do you have children? You now respond, how?
I always tell them yes. I said, yes, I have two children. And when they ask, how old are they? I say, well, they're in heaven. And then, you know, depending on their response, I will usually end up comforting them, explaining, you know, what happened. And to me, I want them to ask me this question because I don't get to talk about my children very often like other parents. But I want to use every time when people ask me this question as an opportunity to help raise awareness about this issue. Because only after we raise awareness, we can start talking about the caring for the families, as well as, most important to me, we can talk about more about prevention. Because especially when it's come to stillbirths, even according to the World Health Organization's number, research that more than half of the stillbirths are preventable. So many of these losses are preventable. You know, we need to find a way to raise awareness, provide more care to prevent this type of a tragic loss.
Well, and it is a tragic, tragic loss. Helen Raleigh, I have such regard for you. You are such a patriot for the American idea. You grew up in communist China, and you are one of the really nationally known patriots. You have written these books, and you are on national television on a regular basis. You've done a Prager University video, and you are a patriot. And this vulnerability that you've shared today, I really appreciate it, Helen, and all of us. I think that pregnancy loss, infant loss, has touched, as you mentioned, more people than we've ever realized. And so for all of you out there, we hope that this brings comfort and awareness, and realizing that these precious, precious children are in the arms of Jesus at this time. Helen Raleigh, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kim, and God bless.
God bless you, Helen Raleigh. We'll be right back.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
You are a child of the universe, no less than...
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Thank you so much for joining us. Be sure and check out our website, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you for all of you who support us. Just talked to Helen Raleigh about our children and the loss of children. This is actually today, I think it is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month and Day. And our children are so precious, and that's why we need to really be watching what's happening in our education system. I think we've been asleep at the wheel, and the COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption with kids home and learning online, parents saw what some of this curriculum is. They have realized our kids are falling behind. That's not acceptable. And that's why we really need to make some changes on these school boards. And I am just amazed at the people that are stepping forward because they care about our children. And on the line with me is one such woman, Teresa Shelton. She's running for Jefferson County School Board. Teresa Shelton, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
I had a couple of your compatriots, I might say, on earlier this week, and that was Kathy Mix and Jeff Wilhite, both running for Jefferson County School Board. You are as well. And Teresa, we are realizing how important these races are. They are, quote unquote, nonpartisan. They're actually very partisan. They're not paid positions. And so you have to wonder, why would people want to run for school board? So that's the question on the table. Teresa Shelton, why are you running for school board?
Well, that's a great question. I was silently laughing while you were asking me that question. You know, it really comes down to this. My husband and I would sit around the dinner table every night just complaining. And, you know, student achievement, you mentioned it. Student achievement in Jeffco has been declining for a while now. And meanwhile, we have enrollment dropping. About 6,000 students in Jeffco. Spending is up about 30%. And the interesting part about this is we know that Jeffco schools used to be really good. And we know that because we actually have a son who is a college graduate. So he is off on his own. He's 23. But when he graduated high school, it was the same year our daughters started kindergarten. So the more involved I became in our elementary school after being gone for a decade, the easier it was to see just what was happening. And there was just such a stark contrast. So, we pointed the finger at each other, my husband and I, trying to figure out who was going to do it, and I guess I drew the short straw. But I'm a licensed CPA. I have a 35-year career in finance. I have an operational background. And I decided I could do a lot more than complain. So, here I am.
Well, this is, as I've been interviewing so many different people that are running for school board, most of them have a story like this, or I didn't want to run for this office. And that the first time, whenever somebody says that, I didn't want to run for this office, it's like, yeah, my vote, because they are there, I think, for the right reasons. Americans stepping forward saying, I need to do something about this. And our kids are falling behind. And I've got to imagine, Teresa, as you're out on the campaign trail, no matter whether or not somebody has an R or a D or a U behind their name, unaffiliated, no parent likes to figure out finally that their kids are falling behind.
Correct. That is an absolute truth. This is a parent issue, not a political issue. And I think that's what's happening. I have friends in two generations, as you can imagine, right? And it has been so interesting that when we go to soccer games or to the PTA meeting, or when I am with parents now, what we talk about, it's just so much different than it was when my son was in school. It just shows that everyone is concerned for a lot of different reasons, because as we know, and as you just heard from our last guest, our children are so important to us.
Well, they are. And it's been, I worked on a school board race 4 years ago, because at that time I was just waking up, not becoming woke, but waking up to what was occurring. And I realized that instead of teaching our kids the basics, I'm the product of a great public education: reading, writing, arithmetic, history, science, critical thinking, civics, all those things that used to be taught in American education, which created amazing generations of people, that entrepreneurs and people that worked hard and helped their neighbor. And of course, we fight tyranny on a regular basis. And now teaching our kids this CRT, critical race theory, I've also learned that parent, you have to ask not just the question, are you teaching CRT? Did I say CRC? CRT, because they may say, oh, no, we're not. But there may be a cousin of that. And CRT is critical race theory, which is dividing our children and teaching them that just because of the color of their skin, that they're either a victim or an oppressor. And now that we've figured that out, I'm super concerned about that. Where do you stand on this CRT critical race theory, Teresa?
Kim, that is probably the question I have received the most, both when we're at campaign events and through email. I get a lot of emails. And when you have a live conversation with people, the first question I ask is, tell me what you're thinking when you say CRT. Because I think everybody has a different perspective about that.
Interesting.
But I'll tell you what I believe it is, and we were, you know, you will hear everybody say, oh, we don't teach CRT. We don't teach CRT. What I say to people is, I'm going to go one step further and say, we really should not be politicizing our classrooms. There's just not a place for that when you're at the elementary and the middle school level. And what tends to happen sometimes is there is a process for approving curriculum, and that process rests with the board. So the board does approve curriculum. But there is also a process for something called approved resources, and those generally go through the building themselves. So those will be at the school level, approved by the administrators in that building. What I say to parents is, yes, I do not believe in politicizing our classrooms. And you made a comment about this. Parents really need to stay in touch with what is happening, what's coming home in the backpack, because things will take place at the classroom level. And if a parent sees something, hears something that they don't feel comfortable with, I really, really encourage them to go through that process of talking to the teacher, talking to the administrators, and if you're not getting anywhere, then contacting your school board member, because that is where I think we need to be the most aware of what is happening, because I don't know so much that things are going to start at the curriculum level at the top, but if they do, that's great, because that process engages the whole community. Curriculum should not be approved without having stakeholders from the entire community present and providing their input.
And it needs to be very transparent what that curriculum is.
Yes.
Parents should be able to, I think that parents should be able to see online. I'm just coming up with this right now as I'm thinking about this, what the curriculum is, so that people can review that. I think that's super important. Okay, the other thing out there, Teresa Shelton, and that is the forced or the mandated masking of children. What's your thoughts about that?
Well, I have sixth graders, and I really don't like it. I think at the end of the day, it is so important to look at what's happening with our children. We have a lot of behavior issues right now in our schools. And I think at some point, what I'm really disappointed by and a little bit disheartened by is that I do believe there should have been a deeper conversation at our school board level to really sit down and go through each of our COVID mitigation strategies. We have several. You know, the school district has done a lot. It's not March 2020 anymore. And I think it's so important to not only be getting the input from what we keep calling our medical professionals, but we need to be getting the input from our mental health professionals and really try to understand what are the incremental benefits, if any, being realized by each of these COVID mitigation strategies. We're in a difficult spot in JeffCo. Our order here is much more restrictive than it is in many other places here in Colorado, and we're at a community that's 80% vaccinated.
And if something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. That is really one of our bylines. We look at things as through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And certainly if a family, I think people should have their choice on what they want to do. But there's creative and innovative ways to address this. Instead of this heavy hand of force coming down, if parents prefer that their children not be masked, if there's teachers who prefer not to be masked, it seems to me like in a school, you could have one classroom might be for masked children and the other would be unmasked. I mean, there's got to be creativity and innovation instead of force, Teresa Shelton.
I agree. And I think I love what you say about that, because it really should be something that people feel excited about doing, or that they have a vested interest in doing, versus feeling like they're forced to do.
So Teresa Shelton, the ballots are out now, and they're due the first part of November. How can people get more information about you?
Thank you so much, Kim. I can be found on the web at Shelton for Jeffco Students, and that's FOR.com. You can also contact me there via email. You can phone me. I'm happy to answer any questions. And I'm really looking forward to this, and I really appreciate you having Kathy and Jeff on. We always talk about assuring that Jeffco teaches kids, Jeff, Teresa, and Kathy.
Oh, I love that. And Teresa, on my voter's guide this year, in addition to the three statewide issues, as well as I'm taking a stand against the 55% increase in the Lone Tree retail sales tax, I am including a list of recommended school board candidates. And we will be adding to that. I've had a number of additional candidates reach out to me, but you and Kathy Mix and Jeff Wilhite are right there on there as a recommended with Teresa Shelton. So thank you so much for joining us today.
That's great. Thank you so much, Kim. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. And these shows come to you because I have great partners. One of them is Castlegate Knife and Tool. Hal and Linnea Van Herke are true entrepreneurs. Castlegate Knife and Tool is located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They're getting all kinds of inventory in. And so get your Christmas shopping done early. We're hearing that there might be some supply chain challenges out there. So be sure and get your shopping done early. Castlegate Knife and Tool is great, whether or not the person you're giving a gift to is a chef or a sportsman or a collector. Castlegate Knife and Tool is truly the place for you. So be sure and check out castlegate.com. And another great partner of the show is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations, Westminster, Aurora, Loveland, I got it, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. They have all kinds of specials coming into the weekend. They have Kids Eat Free on Saturdays. They have happy hour specials Monday through Friday and lunch specials as well. So be sure and check out Hooters Restaurants as well. And I so appreciate all of these great sponsors that bring this show to you. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about freedom of religion. And it's under assault, not only across the world, but in America today. We'll be right back with Father Andre.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Day by day.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us.
We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And I so appreciate each and every one of you. Be sure and check out our voter's guide, which is on the website. We are going to be doing some edits to that. We needed to make a clarification on just the amount of this quote-unquote new marijuana tax for the children. And we had misread something in the 14-page initiative. We will correct that. And then we will be adding additional school board candidates that we would recommend that you vote for in this school board election. These are some of the most important elections in our country. And so we will have a recommended list on that as well. I am really excited to have on the line with me Father Andre, and I actually have kind of watched him from afar. There were some times where I think we were at the same place, Father Andre, so I feel like I know you, I think you know me, so it's so great to actually have this conversation, but it's happening on the radio.
It is amazing to have you. I do remember you, actually. And I am really so glad as well we're having specifically on this beautiful KLZ radio this communication together and working together as members of one family, it seems we're going to become.
And that is, I'm very excited about that as well. You will have a new show on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7 FM that will debut this Sunday, which would be October 17th, 9 AM. Father, and do you pronounce your last name Mahana? Is that correct?
Correct, Mahana.
Okay, so Father Andre Mahana will be hosting a new show on KLZ 560 on Sunday mornings at 9. Tell us about this show, Father Andre.
Well, I am so honored to join the family of KLZ Radio System, which is part of the broadcasting of the Crawford, who are the oldest broadcasting station in the state of Colorado since March 10, 1922. It's a generational station. It's a beautiful station, educational and holy and fun at the same time, and cultural at the same time, patriotic at the same time. We will have a show, 33 minutes, on the Lord's Day, every Sunday morning with Father Andre, and it will air from 7:30 a.m. till 8:03. It's exactly 33 minutes every Sunday morning, called again 33 minutes on the Lord's Day, every Sunday morning with Father Andre. The intent of the show is to have a platform where through our experience of life and religion and history, we will bring about the voice of God to more people, to encourage them, to give them hope, to show them a way of peace, and through the work of the Mission of Hope and Mercy, which I serve as its president, basically. And this will serve to promote, assist, and defend our faith, our family, our freedom, as you mentioned, for truth and clarity. I heard you. That was beautifully said. And for peace and to promote the culture of life.
I'm very excited about this. And we are in such an ideological battle right now in our country, Father Andre. And wanted to talk about religious freedom. And our founders, in the very first amendment to the Bill of Rights, the very first thing is they want to make sure that we have freedom of religion and that government does not establish a religion. And why do you think the founders of America thought this was so important?
Well, I do believe that the founders of the U.S. were classically educated. And if you look at the phenomena and events of what's happening in Europe in the 16th century through the early 18th century, you will understand that in the name of religion, the fights, the 200-year fights between Protestantism and Catholicism, the Turkish-European fights, you know, these are the inherited wars of the late Crusades, basically, and the late Muslim inquisitions and what you may call them, conquestors to the West. Europe was suffering from a lack of religious liberty. Then you have these immigrants who came, many as slaves, many as new adventurous people, others as tyrants probably, others as a people of goodwill. They wanted just to explore a new land, others as missionaries. They came to this new continent. And of course, from there, they breathed in the continent the breath of freedom. So religious liberty, in fact, in the Bible and in the American Constitution, is listed as the most prominent value and right that comes from God to us. These are the two main documents. If you look at documents in the world, there is no similar document more than the American Constitution and the Bible that speaks about this freedom of the children of God. And of course, this is America's greatest gift to the world, which is tormented by hate and by religious persecution. Kim, and I promise you, I finish here. When you look at the world and you see 80% of the world population suffers from a lack of religious freedom. Christianity, for instance, on its own, in 2,000 years, suffered 80 million martyrs were killed because of their faith. On daily basis in areas in the Middle East, in Africa, and in Asia, in Europe even, now in the United States, in Canada with the coronavirus and with all these mandates, the persecution is augmenting and religious freedom is more and more under danger. So the mission of Hope and Mercy is like a good Samaritan. We try to save lives from all kinds of persecution or rejection or neglect and to confirm them in God's image, the author of all goodness. And all of this we do based on the U.S. Constitution and our learning and teaching from the Bible and the church.
Well, Father Andre, you have experience with this because you grew up in Lebanon, and so you have seen firsthand religious persecution, although we're seeing it here in America as well. It had been kind of underneath the surface a bit, but my gosh, we're really seeing it here in America as well. So address both of those things, please, Father Andre.
Kim, you know, for all of our listeners, what Lebanon has been going through is an attack against its democracy, its freedom, its economy, its national peace, its religious freedom and coexistence, meaning people from different ethnicities, from different religious groups, from different social classes could live and depend on one another and collaborate with one another in order to build the peace, prosperity, and the private property right for all. And definitely this is under attack, and it has been for a while in the Middle East, specifically in Lebanon. You know, prophetically in 1997, the great Pope John Paul II declared, he said, and I quote, "Lebanon is more than a country. It is a message of a freedom and an example of pluralism for East and West." And when you look at the United States, I came as an immigrant to the U.S., and that was probably some 20-some years ago. And I look at the situation in the U.S., and I notice that people in the U.S., they're not noticing there is a magnitude of persecution and of hate against America. And somehow, I notice that this global persecution will attack United States at some point in its history. And I noticed that freedom was being headed to be silenced in the United States. And I said, this is not right. If United States' freedom is silenced, forget about the rest of the world. The world will go into a darkness. So it was important for me personally, and as a priest, led by the grace of God, guided by the Holy Spirit, and by my experience, which I suffered from during the massacres in Lebanon, lost many friends. We had to stay inside caves, me and my family. My mom's brother was, I'm sorry to say this is early morning, but was shredded in pieces. And my mom had to go to a, treatments, which were not really ethically correct treatments at the time, but they were the only treatments available. We saw how violence, religious hate, and persecution, and the lack of religious freedom make people lose hope, divide families, and definitely break the hearts of nations, and deny the right to exist and to collaborate to the world of peace. And I tried to learn about this in the U.S. And eventually, when I saw how things are happening in the United States, this shift, this sudden shift, cheating is allowed, proclaiming God has become an accusatory thing. There is a complete vicious transformation from virtue to vice, they became equal. Moral relativism, secularism wanted to become and somehow the guiding religion. Politics became the religion of the state. I think we're seeing something going on, a little bit strange phenomenon in the United States, which is an indicative that we are losing our private voice. And if America's people lose their private voice, woe to the rest of the world, Kim, they will fall in darkness and despair. And that's not right. We should stand up.
We really should stand up, Father Andre. And I've thought a lot about this. And really, Christianity, there are those that have said that, oh my gosh, Christians want to tell you how to live your life. And certainly human beings will take things and try to use them to a human benefit. But the gospel, in its own right, is so freeing because Christ doesn't force anybody to accept him. It's a choice. It's an individual freedom. And I find that within the Christian faith, and then the idea that America was founded on the individual with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, I see that those two things so coalesce in freedom and liberty. And I think we need to talk about that more. Your thoughts, Father Andre?
Ken, you are absolutely correct about this. The beauty of Christianity is that even though it suffers the attacks from outside, it also suffers the scandals from within. And why I said it's beautiful to see that despite those things, Christianity survived nations, survived religious attacks. You know, every 5 minutes, a Christian is martyred, and Christianity survived. 285 million Christians experienced severe persecution in the world, and Christianity survived. Scandals from within, Christianity survived. Communism, whether in China or in the former USSR at the time until 1989 or 1990, and Christianity survived. The exodus of Christians from the Middle East has been very severe and very hurtful and injuring. African Christianity suffering. 49% of Africa is a Christian, yet we see that 750,000 or 750 million Christians in Africa, which is the percentage of Christianity in Africa, they live under poverty level, and Christianity is thriving and surviving. So there is a key, and I tell you what the key is. It's actually in the outreach program of Christianity. Christianity has many models that offers to the world as an outreach program. We offer to the most conservative, we offer to the most liberals. We tell both, grow in virtue or grow in less hate. Grow towards a common ground, but walk with God and be guided by the virtue and by the common love for peace and for life and for love. So the message of Christianity is what makes it survive despite its weaknesses as a human nature and despite the ferocious attacks that come from outside. And this, in conclusion, I would say, good luck, because the gates of hell shall not prevail against us, shall not prevail against her, the church, because these were the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he aimed and he offered himself as the savior of all mankind.
Oh, Father Andre, this is just absolutely fascinating. I'm so excited about your new show that will debut this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Father Andre Mahana. He grew up in Lebanon, and he is as you can tell, a fervent protector of religious freedom. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Father Andre.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. I so appreciate that as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. Be sure and check out our voter's guide as you are completing your ballot. We've done a lot of work, a very thorough analysis of the three statewide ballot questions, as well as on local issue, a recommendation to vote no on Lone Tree's 55% sales tax increase. And then also we are recommending a number of school board candidates as well. Before we get back to Father Andre Mahana, this show comes to you because I have great sponsors, and one of them is Kirsch Insurance Group. Their website is iKirsch, that's K-I-R-S-C-H.com, iKirsch.com. And they are experts in the Medicare field. And we are starting this open enrollment time, this window, which is October 15th through December 7th, where you can make a change for your Medicare coverage for the next year. And Kirsch Insurance Group actually works with a number of different carriers. They can tailor something that works just for you. You may have some changes coming up that you don't know about. They can help you with that. So check out iKirsch.com. That's iKirsch.com. Father Andre Mahana, you are a fervent supporter of a protector. Says we must conserve the American idea and our religious freedom. And so let's talk a little bit, just before we get into everything else, about missionofhopeandmercy.com. This is your charity, missionofhopeandmercy.com. Tell us a little bit about what you do. Oh, .org.
Mission of Hope and Mercy.org. And I'm sure that come might take you to the same place. Mission of Hope and Mercy.org. I would say America must lead the world in purity and in charity. And now is the time. And about the Mission of Hope and Mercy, our value basically is to focus the message. And the message is to be always a peace builders and to always provide security for the weak and for the distressed, for the persecuted, for the injured, for the voiceless, and expand awareness and show solidarity with the oppressed, the needy, the migrant, and the poor, all for the love of God and the neighbor through hope and mercy. But see, Kim, in order to do this, you cannot destroy a nation for the sake of receiving a stranger. You cannot destroy what's been built or has been built for centuries and for years and for decades, where money was spent, efforts were put together, greatest minds came together. You cannot destroy the building that we have in order to say, okay, now I want to be more hospitable. There has to be an equation of what's just, what we call probably equal rights, equal protection, equal benefits. And of course, this is the test that United States is going through now. And in this test, I would say the work of the Mission of Hope and Mercy is to save, educate, and aid about the Christian plight that is in the world. There is nothing wrong by me looking at United States as the blood through which hope flows to the entire world. Hope in freedom, hope in prosperity, hope in the right of having a voice, to seek legal counsel and succeed in getting good results, even though we have so many failures sometimes, unfortunately, even in our legal, system, because everything and somehow still depends to a certain extent on our personal virtues. So somehow we see in the United States a hope for the world. We see in the United States a voice for people, despite the viciousness of our international politics. I'm aware of all the weaknesses we have in the United States, but I really still believe there isn't no nation under the sun more equipped or prepared through its private sector or its government institutional organizations who can do as much good as the United States of America. And that's what we do in the mission of Hope and Mercy. Again, try to do achievements by staying on the message, feed my sheep. So we're trying to, we have a program, a campaign since 2021 in the beginning of the year called Feed a Family, Save a Nation. I do believe there is food problem in the world, there is medicine problem in the world, there is water problem in the world. In the places where there is persecution, we became very sensitive to see its early warnings. And look at what's happening today in America with the vaccine mandate, this food shortage and the medicine shortage and rejection sometimes is actually happening here now.
Well, and it is. And with this, what's your thoughts about these vaccine mandates, Father Andre?
Well, you know, as all the common sense people would say, a human being is a free with the supervision and the guidance and the dialogue with their own primary health doctor to do what's good for them and good for their health and good for the society. And I'm sure for those who are vaccinated by choice, it is something that they needed to do and is good for them. And they should be also careful about the others. And those who are unvaccinated, also with the guidance of their own healthcare doctors and recommendations, they should also take care of their bodies and be careful. It seems that in both situations, both still carry the virus. It's not like vaccinated people don't carry the virus. See, this is a part people may not want to talk about. If people are vaccinated, even though they get sick less, that's what they say, but they still carry the virus. If the purpose is stop carrying the virus, everybody has to be careful. Everybody has to be in somehow in a situation of caring for the neighbor's well-being and good health. And it seems so far there is preventive medicine. There is a medicine even if you fall sick under COVID. There is a natural immunity. There are some conventional medicines that were in existence. It seems they proved that mechanically they still can heal people and give them herd immunity and immunity. The vaccine mandate is a different issue. It's no longer caring for the sick people. It's no longer stopping that disease from you know, spreading in the world. I think it became and somehow a tool to put limitations on the lifestyle of individuals who otherwise they contributed to society through their work, through their talents, through their many sacrifices, and of course through their faith. And it seems the vaccine mandate is attacking religious freedom, is attacking the working sphere of the people. Hospitals are firing people, and many corporations we see across the nation, people are losing their jobs, divided families are happening, doctors are really throwing under the bus other doctors. You know where we live that, Kim? In communist regimes. People cheated other people and they betrayed them and they offered them just to die, basically. This is United States. It cannot happen that way.
Well, and that's why I think it is important that people stand up and hold the line against these mandates. And I'm encouraged, Father Andre. We are seeing everyday Americans do that. And so I'm very encouraged about that. We have just a few minutes left. There are those, though, I mean, there's been, you can feel this oppression. And of course, we in America hadn't really been used to that. Much of the world lives under oppression, this kind of this oppressive government policies and all. How do you recommend people address if they're feeling some despair? How should people address that?
Kim, solidarity. Now it is time for United States citizens to say, listen, this entire war is between income and God. Look at your income. Income now is being mandated for you. And many nations lost their treasures, and their treasures were taken and confiscated by corporate organizations, whether the government or other type of organizations. I think both America and the world, in both the social and religious veins, started facing these unimaginable challenges, which will hit the individual income of an American person. They are and they will suffer many traumas, violent changes, firing from their jobs, and it's hitting everywhere in the U.S. There will be an emergence of dangerous, evil thoughts encroaching on religion and society. Sick people are being rejected from hospitals. The best way to stop discrimination or calamities or viciousness or immoralities or cowardlessness or these family and political trouble from suffering from a treacherous behavior towards God and towards a friend is for America to rise to its proper virtue. And what is the proper virtue of America? Stand up for your freedom. And when you stand up for your freedom, you respect others, you respect yourself, and you act as a virtuous person. We have, Tim, to break the poisonous silence. We have to be able to have a conversation with our neighbor, knock at their door, feed them if they are hungry, yet at the same time heal confusion on the land. And who can do this best than a Judeo-Christian embedded land with the grace, with sacrifice, with prosperity, and with many good acts, despite all the evil sometimes we have done ourselves and sometimes was imposed upon us. So I ask Americans, have a free will illumination of your own personal conscience. Reflect on the way you want America to be. And let your own conscience now be the factor that crushes evil, that crushes Satan, and give the opportunity for American freedom to rise again and to be the main weapon against the forces of darkness. Love your neighbor, forgive and pardon, be a factor of unity, and rise above all calamities by doing good.
Oh, my gosh. Father Andre Mahana, thank you so much. His organization is missionofhopeandmercy.org. That's missionofhopeandmercy.org. Welcome to KLZ 560 AM, the Crawford Broadcasting Group. You will have your new show this Sunday, 7:30 in the morning. Father Andre, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim. God bless you all.
And God bless you as well. Our quote for today is from George Washington. He said, "While we are contending for our own liberty, we should be very cautious not to violate the conscience of others, ever considering that God alone is the judge of the hearts of men, and to him only in this case are they answerable." Again, that was George Washington. My friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.